I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on though. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before. And I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag. 'Cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag."
Good morning. It is Thursday, the 20th day of May 2010, rolling right along in this year. I'm RJ. This is the Morning Liberty Program. Thanks for tuning in. I am taking a look at the anger that is just swelling in California and Arizona and Texas. Yesterday it was interesting to watch Obama meet with the president of Mexico and talking about, you know, it seems like Obama's got amnesty up his sleeve somewhere. And you can jump into the middle of this tar baby and it's like somebody's not going to like it. It's like speaking up in a crowd of our own opinion and hoping that everybody loves us, you know. I just want the love. And I think this Obama still wants the vote of Hispanics, right? And there are people from Mexico who believe that, well, if you're coming here from Mexico, you need to come here legally. Well, it's going on at the Mexican border, Canada border as well. People who are coming here legally, people coming here illegally, people still coming to America. It was interesting yesterday to see in California, apparently many cities across the country are boycotting their trips to Arizona. Arizona has been losing money, and officials from power supply companies in Arizona say, if you are going to boycott Arizona, then we may stop sending power to your neighborhood. Now, I think that they may be justified in such a thing. It's like higher up, there are those who really want the North American Union. They haven't been jumping in and weighing in on this issue. They're just watching all of the anger escalate. They're watching all of this chaos. And imagine high school kids in California taking down the American flag in front of the school and then putting up their Mexican flag and then putting up the American flag upside down. And they think this is funny. They're getting angry about it. It's like, we're just stuck in the middle. And there is no easy answer to this thing because they will continue to come. The question is, if we do not shut down these borders of illegal influx, terrorists are coming across as well. We'll be back with John Kimenas right after the break. This is RBN.
Z today in America, you are facing threats of bank holidays, currency devaluation, confiscation of funds by lawyers and various government entities. We at Panama Legal, offshore law firm based in Guatemala, have offshore solutions. For instance, we can form an anonymous Hong Kong corporation for you, get you a bank account, a $1 trillion Hong Kong bank that'll let you own 10 different currencies in your account. If one or two currencies go down, the others will go up. You'll have no Hong Kong taxes, strong bank secrecies, no tax treaty with the USA, no need to go to Hong Kong. Access your funds online from anywhere in the world, and you could even get an anonymous Visa card without your name on it or in the strip through us. So come visit us at PanamaLaw.org. That's PanamaLaw.org. And you can chat with us on Skype or use our encrypted chat and discuss your needs. Thank you.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Again, good morning. This is the Morning Liberty Program. Our phone number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. You may have some questions for my guest this first hour. We will have Jim and Trish from Daniel Chapter 1, the second hour. John Kimonis, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for joining us this morning. Can we get to know you a little bit as we proceed with this discussion? There are so many things that I am not familiar with when it comes to silver, okay? And I appreciate you taking the time with us this morning. What part of the country are you from? What events have shaped and molded who you are? And how did you get involved in silver? Go ahead.
Okay, I live in southern Georgia, near Thomasville, Georgia. It's about 35 miles north of Tallahassee, Florida, which everyone seems to be familiar with. And I grew up actually in Washington, D.C. I was born in Washington, D.C., and I lived in the suburbs. And mom and sister and pretty much the whole family worked for the government, and my dad worked for the IMF for his career. So kind of had a little bit of that background in banking and money growing up just from the father. And I started collecting coins when I was really young, just because I had access to some, and I noticed the differences between the values, and I started asking a lot of questions, and luckily I had a really big collector down the road from me who taught me a lot about coins and the value of coins, and even in junior high school had me converting my dollars into silver, you know, as a practice to create wealth. And I really didn't understand the whole mechanics of it back then, but I understood that my silver dollar was worth more than my paper dollar. So I kind of, you know, experimented a lot. And so anyway, throughout the years, I kept my coin collection up, and as I went through college and started earning money and started looking at the value of silver, especially towards 1999, 2000, starting to go up, I started making, putting all my money basically that I didn't need on bills into silver, and started collecting silver and going to estate sales and really building up my collection. And while I was doing that, I met up with a bunch of different people that were silver dealers in the local South Florida area while I was doing this. And
you know, I think it's interesting. When I was a younger man, I would collect baseball cards and marbles, you know. Do you think your interest in collecting silver was a function of your father being at the IMF?
Well, part of it, and I like to collect, I was into collecting the year, each mint date for the year, and having the whole collection, and I was working on it by decade, going backwards, because it was easier to get the newer coins first, but, and it's kind of like a weird, I like to catalog things, and even now I work with databases, so it's kind of like a thing with me, and coins were great. They're unique, they have pretty designs on them, there's all this history behind them, and every time you grab a silver coin that's 50, 100 years old, whose hands did that go through, you know? There's so many neat things behind the history of coins, especially if you get them from the Civil War era, you know? They could have been traded during, you know, for supplies, who knows? It just has a really neat historical and artistic, and it's got an intrinsic value as well.
So you're saying that each coin in your collection has a history of its own?
Yes, I have a little tiny collection where I kind of know where some of the coins came from. For example, I found one in when I was in, believe it or not, sixth grade camp. We went to Manassas, Virginia, and there's all types of old cemeteries and battlefields there. And we had a task to go around with a metal detector, and we'd find little pieces of old rusted metal and stuff. And one of the people in our little group found, I think it was a two-cent copper penny. That was from, you know, 1867 or 66, I think, which was right in the middle of the, the Civil War. So, you know, it's really interesting to be able to find something like that, which is very rare. That was about 25 years ago.
Yeah, my grandpa out of Boston, he collected stamps and tried to get me started on collecting pennies and dimes, and they got me some kits and so forth, but it really didn't interest me, but apparently it certainly interested you.
That's correct. Yeah, it's fun stuff, and like I said, it has, I mean, the collection I have now, I even have stuff from when I first started, and I've got my 8-year-old son involved as well, and he understands the difference between silver coinage, the clad coinage, which we have now, which is, it has no silver content in it, and he even understands the difference between a Federal Reserve note having no value, that it's a debt. And
you mean no clanage on the coins we have now, like quarters and dimes and nickels and so forth?
Yeah, there's no silver content in there. I think Mexico is the only country that has silver in its actual distributed currency, and that's in some coins. No other country, I think, has that in, you know, regular circulating currency. So
if we go back and examine dimes and nickels and quarters, what kind of content of silver were in them, and how far back?
Sure. Well, as far as silver coinage goes, that started back in actually Turkey, and in a place called Anatolia. So that happened probably, as far as the first known silver mints, they were in Turkey, and they supplied all of Greece and that area. And that was all, you know, a couple thousand years before Christ came about. And the Romans were actually the first real civilization to demand, to coin things and demand then be used throughout the Roman Empire and monetize them under the different Caesars. So there was lots of silver being traded, and lots of lots of countries at the time or tribes, empires had their silver coinage. But the Romans were first to really standardize it and crank it out and really put it in the hands of the people, especially the soldiers that were out there conquering, the various places to expand the empire. So it's actually 700 BC is when the Lydians when they started using a silver gold alloy, and then that later led into the Romans really expanding that and refining silver a little bit better. But most silver does come mixed with other metals. So until a couple hundred years ago, when we really got good, or 300 years ago, and really got good at refining the silver and separating it using several processes from other metals, it was a lot harder to get a pure silver coin. So older silver coins that are hundreds of years old are usually impure. They're not, they're not going to be the 999 pure silver that you get now, because now we have different methods for literally separating the ore from zinc or copper or gold, or because most silver mines are most silver comes as a byproduct of other types of mining. So that's the gist of where silver comes from. It's basically
almost by accident, do you think?
Potentially. I mean, when the settlers came here in the 1400s and started spreading out little by little across the United States, they actually found tremendous silver ore in, especially in the western part of the United States, in Colorado, Nevada, which, when they did that, expanded the silver production in the world by two or threefold. And then soon after that, they came up with refining techniques that would actually let them refine that silver into to get more of the silver out of the other product it was coming with, because it can be attached to minerals as well. So that really increased the silver production and really allowed them to start coining, at a greater rate and using silver as the value, the trading unit, because in all the colonies, British, Portuguese, and everything, they always had a currency based, their currency was always based in silver or gold, so that it had some type of value. And the fiat currencies didn't come in till a lot later in the 1700s. And so basically the British went in and with the Spanish and the Dutch, and we had all kinds of currencies rotating through the United States at the time. And little by little, as our country matured, we decided we want our own coin, and little by little, the Spanish real had kind of taken a stronghold, because it was milled and it had a reeded edge. It had an edge you couldn't shave off and kind of cheat the person you're trading the coin to. So that became a standard, and the 8 real, I think it was called, and those are the coins that people would chop up, and you hear the term 8 bits, 2 bits. That's because the real was chopped up like a pie, so that you could break it down to smaller pieces and trade for smaller things. So the real had taken a stronghold until like the late 1700s, when I think it was 1794 when the United States first minted its first silver coin, 1795, I think. And at that point, they deemed in Congress that and the real, which had a higher silver content by just a few percentage points, were equal, because the real was the dominant currency. And they were trying to create wealth for the country, so circulating a silver dollar was very important for the United States. So in order for them to supplant the real, they had to kind of say it was even, and that a real and a dollar, a silver dollar, had the same value, even though the content of the minted dollar was just a fraction, literally like 1% lighter in silver. So that's pretty much how the silver got introduced into our country, as far as the United States Mint goes. But it all
how much do you think that minting coins in silver had a part in putting together an empire? If we go back, for example, the Turkey Empire or the Roman Empire, and now the American Empire. Do you think the ability to coin silver and gold was a part of that? I hear the music. We'll continue right after the break. John, this is RBN. Hang on.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit freetoprosper.com today.
This morning, now 23 minutes after the hour. This is the Morning Liberty Program, and we are live. My guest this morning is John Kimenes. Our phone number, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. Again, back to my question, John. Do you think empire became a function of their ability, or at least in part, to coin precious metals?
Well, I think the biggest thing about empires was having the currency, for example, having the currency, whether it was silver or not, being issued by a specific country and making that the standardized currency. And I think that's what kept the British Empire, that and might in control. I think that, you know, having silver value in the currency with some of the colonies like in the Americas and some of the ones that were more European-based rather than you know, African-based or Latin American or Indian-based, excuse me, they were more, you know, you had to treat them a little differently. So I think having value and having silver in that currency was more to kind of expand the United States and expand that. And when I guess they had their expansion done, they took the silver out. That's my opinion. I think it was
the little history that I understand regarding silver and its coinage is that in the early years of America in the 1700s and 1800s, there were many individuals who had an outfit where they would create 1 ounce coins of silver, or the silver dollar. And you're saying that it was an intentional effort to supplant the real.
Yeah, for example, in the colonies, we had the shilling, we had, which was from England, the Rixdollar from Germany, we had the pieces of eight, the real from Spain, we had the guilder from Dutch, you know, from the Dutch, and we had the half-jo from Portugal. So those were all the popular coins. But they didn't have the milled edges on them. So those coins were easily shaved little by little, and little by little those coins would have less and less content as they passed through hands, because you could take those little shavings eventually and you have a whole coin at some point. So when the Spanish real started to dominate because of their minting process and having a milled edge, so you could look at the edge of the coin, like just like a quarter has reeds on the edge, little lines. So you could look at the edge and see if those are flat. If they're flat, they've been shaved off. It's less.
So that's why the edge is like that on coins.
Correct. It's there as an anti-theft, I guess, measure. So you can't shave the edges. That was a big, very common thing with the early coins. Sometimes instead of a reeded edge, they'll put printing. Like you'll see some of the thicker coins from Europe, and even now in the United States, they have different coins that have like some type of phrase printed around the outside edge instead of a reed. So there's different techniques for doing that. And so that's why the real became dominant. So I think, so in 1794, they were trying to, you know, get this whole coinage thing passed. And they had stuff that was in pewter and brass and all kinds of different things going around. And then finally, Thomas Jefferson, who was one of the biggest proponents of the silver dollar, got it going in 1785 so that, you know, just by, I guess, his influence, and finally we minted one in 1795, actually, yeah. So that's how it started in the United States in 1795, and then the coins were minted really poorly. They weren't as pretty as some of the other coins, but over time they fixed that and started circulating those, and it started to dominate at some point.
Why is silver really matter when it comes down to having a silver coin, for example, that is 1 ounce?
Well, I mean, the thing is this: when you're buying something, if it's 999 pure silver, 1 ounce, you know what its value is. When you buy a 90% silver coin, like they call junk silver, the United States junk silver, quarters, nickels, dimes, that have a 90% silver content, well, that's not, you have to do a calculation, because there's the 10% of that content missing, so it becomes this extra math problem. So it's much easier to measure something when it's 100% or very, very close. It's 0.999949. So it's very, very, very close to pure silver when you buy them in round format. And
so there used to be real silver content in dimes and nickels and quarters, but not right now, right? The current coinage in America, they have no silver. Do you think so?
Yes, they do not have any silver as of... in 1964, the silver coins had 90% silver in them, the majority of them, the dimes, the quarters, the half dollars, the dollars. And there was different types of dollars that came out through the years. Some had less silver in them and some had more. And then in 1964, we had the confiscation of the golden, I forgot the name of the act, but it basically confiscated all the gold and took the silver out of the money. And in 1968, they stopped, most silver was pulled out of the coins. I think there was still some Eisenhower dollars or some half dollars going out that might have had some silver in them, but it was only about 40%. And they replaced the copper, or excuse me, they left the 10% copper in there, and they have, I think, zinc or... other metals that they put in there now, so the coin is basically worth not much. And
so what metals are now in a quarter? What metals are now in a nickel? What metals are now in a dime?
I'm not sure. I think a nickel, I want to say nickel is nickel and zinc. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I'm pretty sure zinc and copper make up the coinage nowadays. So that's what you're getting when you get a quarter or a dime.
Okay, we'll continue right after this. John, I appreciate you coming on and having this discussion with us, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Attention, ladies! Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Right now is 33 minutes after the hour. This is the Morning Liberty Program. We are live. I am RJ, and my guest this morning is John Kimenes. Again, John, I appreciate you taking the time with us this morning. Is it okay if we take questions from a caller? Is that okay with you?
Go for it.
Let's chat with Lee from Georgia. Lee, good morning. You're on.
Good morning, RJ. John, how you doing, gentlemen? You already answered one question of mine, sir. The other question I had was, I remember when I was studying law, and we were the discussion of the coinage law came up, and I've been sitting here trying to rack my brain to try to remember what the rate on the coin was first, you know, when they first started coining money. Was it 721 grains of silver, are you aware of what the weight was? Because I'm trying to remember, and I can't. I know it was 720 something.
720. Oh man, you're gonna get me. I want to say 770, but that's what it's in my head. But I could be wrong on that. It could be 721, like you were saying. That's a tough question. I can't remember that off the top of my head. But you're right. Congress did give it a certain grains, 721 grains, as a measure to equal $1, so that we had a standardized unit. I'd have to look that up to tell you the truth. I apologize, I can't answer that off the top of my head.
Okay, because I'm always debating this with people, trying to get them to understand that, you know, this paper fiat garbage we've got is absolutely worth it, and I mean not worthless, and trying to get people to understand that unless we actually go back to coinage, we have no real monetary system, and that's why they always referred to gold and silver as portable land, because it was actually something of value that you could take with you.
Correct.
And,
well, you know what
the way that we were taught when I was studying law was you could have, say you had 10 acres of land in Massachusetts, and you could sell it, and for however many silver or gold coins, and then you could go all the way to Oregon and buy the exact same amount of land for the exact same amount of money. And I'm kind of wondering, how did we get away from that?
Well, it's because... For example, in the colonies, they needed to raise capital to do things, especially when we were fighting. And they didn't have the wealth necessarily back to currency. So they said, we'll print this fiat on a promise to pay you back when and if we win or when we get it back. Because in 1764, right, basically what happened was the Parliament passed the Currency Act, which prevented the colonies from legally printing their own currency, whether it be fiat or anything else. So that was right before 1776 and when all this stuff started fomenting. So the Brits were trying to make sure that their currency, which was silver and gold based, was the only currency circulating within the colonies, because the colonies created their own currency, whether it be gold or silver backed or nothing backed, just the faith. Well, that gave them the freedom to not have to borrow, and they didn't have to pay the interest, and it takes you out from underneath the thumb of whoever is printing that currency. So that's the real big liberating thing about a currency, is that it's part of controlling your own destiny and your economy. And if you don't control your currency and someone else does, i.e. the Federal Reserve, if they want to inject or withdraw a tremendous amount of currency, they can, you know, constrict or expand the market as they would like and control the whole world if they have the currency circulating within the whole world or within all of their colonies in their,
So even holding silver now is still a huge part of controlling our own destiny, and even though we may earn our income with a paycheck every week or every month, John, do you think that it matters turning some of our income into silver, real, interesting, what Lee calls a portable land, even every month?
Yes, I mean, the way I operate and have been since about 2004 is I only keep about 2 months worth of Federal Reserve notes, what I need to operate, and the rest I convert into metals and into other things I might need, that I think the price will be going up on food and other things soon. So I kind of, little by little, I've created a plan, and that's what I do. And it's good to make a relationship with one or two or three, you know, have more than one silver person that you deal with just in case something happens. You should have someone close by where you can walk in or show up there, who'll give you a fair deal. And you should have some people anywhere in the country so that if you're not in a hurry, you can get a fair, you know, exchange.
And this is the very reason now that on my website, morningliberty.com, we actually have silver there. And the price of gold can escalate so high, and I've heard, Lee and John, that silver is known as the poor man's gold. But mm-hmm. I think as the value of gold continues to escalate up to 5,000 an ounce, maybe 10,000 an ounce, according to some prognosticators, that silver is going to escalate its ratio even higher. And I think having, who knew, right, one-tenth of an ounce of silver and half of an ounce of silver, I'm thinking having it there, I think, is an awesome resource. Lee, go ahead. Anything else?
I've been doing some research because I've been thinking about starting to get into silver because there is no way I could come up with $1,225 when I was
Oh, exactly. And I found that we could put together one-half rounds of silver.
I can come up with $20 for an ounce of silver, but I was wondering, have either one of you gentlemen seen the documentary? It's called The Secrets of Oz, based on Bloom's book.
The Secret of Oz?
Yeah, it's a documentary, and it describes how this current central banking system that we now have, which we know came into effect in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act,
right,
was the third attempt to establish a central banking system here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
and that it had failed twice before. And I was wondering if either of you had seen it. It's called The Secrets of Oz.
I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds like it's a good documentary.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing.
I have not seen that. It sounds familiar, but I've not seen that. And I'm familiar with what you're talking about regarding the Federal Reserve. And there's lots of good stuff out there if you look, and especially about the Federal Reserve and their stronghold they've had for a long time in this country. So,
right. Right,
you know,
and you know, it's amazing to me. You know, when you got people like what was his name, David Rockefeller, I think it was, that said,
"Yes,
give me control of the nation's money, and I care not who makes the laws."
You see, to me, oil, gold and silver, could be a function of their control. Okay, it could be if they, for example, cornered the market, but more silver is being mined, and mints are still out there. And because this is so significantly, I found a way that we can put it on the website, morningliberty.com, so that people can acquire 1/10 of an ounce of silver and half of an ounce of silver. Because I think it's going to matter, right? Stashing away food, stashing away, you know, this portable land. I like that, portable land, so that we can do something about our destiny, okay?
You know, I was thinking about maybe lead shot. Instead of, not lead, silver shot rather than actual coin.
Yeah, but it's hard to measure. You need to be able to walk into some place and go, here's my piece of silver, and visually, especially if you had junk silver or a small round, the things that people are used to, they know what that is. With a silver round, that requires a scale and other, you know, it's not as easy a transaction. And how do they know that the silver is pure? And there's ways of testing, I guess, but it's just, makes it easier if it's coined, because you can have 10 coins in your pocket and that's 1 ounce. And, you know, it's just, when you divide things like that, it just makes it easier to trade. And it makes people feel more comfortable, and they don't have to deal with round ones with this guy and 2-pound blocks with this guy and, you know, all kinds of weird shavings and stuff in a cup from this guy. It's easier if you come in with a couple rounds, and then he knows what you have and what you're offering for trade.
A couple of years ago, when I had better cash flow, I used to buy, and back then I could buy like silver eagles for about $6 each, and I would get 5 of them every week and just put them away. And I put them away, and I put them away, and I put them away, and then later when I started, you know, coming into a financial crunch, and again, didn't have regular income, as every one of us have been impacted by the financial crisis that is now underway. I turned around and I sold that silver back in, and it's like now, you know, I sold it to the very same people that I bought it from, but now to buy that same silver, it's like $19 and even over $20.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was just a couple years ago, just about 3 years ago, silver was only at like a dollar something an ounce, and now it's now it's nearly.
In 2005, you could have picked it up for about $10 an ounce. About 2006, $10 an ounce. But I was buying silver in 2004 around $7 an ounce. So,
and now it's up to like $20 an ounce. And they're saying that they're expecting it's going to go up. But what people need to understand, too, I did a little research over the past couple weeks when I started thinking about investing in silver because I can't afford gold, gold is something that people hoard. Silver is actually consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Because
silver can be destroyed.
We have silver is in our. They put it in our computers, our watches, our cell phones, and when it starts to become rare, it's going to go up in value.
Yeah, I mean, silver is underpriced for what it is. What's on top of the earth, and a lot of these people, like, you know, Mr. Buffett and Mr. Bill Gates and them that invested when silver was in the $5 range, you know, they knew what's going on, and they knew that it's an industrial metal. It conducts electricity better than copper. It conducts heat better than pretty much any other metal. And it has also, you can trade it. You can use it for health reasons. Like the first people that traveled across the country from east to west used to use silver. It was FDA approved as an antimicrobial. In the 1920s, it was approved by the FDA for antimicrobial treatment. So, all throughout time, it's been used for lots of different reasons. And, for example, in World War II, believe it or not, they used 480 million ounces. That's a 35 by 35 by 35 square foot block of silver that they, in New Jersey, converted into wiring. They took this wiring, okay, and used it to take uranium and basically flow electricity through the coils. And they took this uranium and used that, or uranium, for the bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. And so they supercharged this uranium with this silver coil that was had electricity pumping around through it. And the funny thing is, the amount of electricity that they pumped through that silver was had more energy in itself, released 100 times more energy itself than the bomb itself, than the bomb did when it blew up. And supposedly it took them about 30 years, and they returned all of that silver back to the mint, which were, you know, back to the U.S. government, which from where they borrowed it. So they use silver for all kinds of things. And even in today's modern bombs, they blow up silver. Silver vaporizes. It can go away. You can use acid to destroy it. You know, you can't do that with gold. Gold, you drop a nuclear bomb on it, everything's gone. The gold's just in millions of little pieces or separated or melted. It's just, it's still there. The silver will vaporize. It will go away. So at some point,
I've been very surprised to learn, for example, gold, right? Gold that potentially could go up to 5,000 an ounce or 10,000 an ounce or even higher, is that the price of silver, when gold escalates like that, the ratio of silver and its escalation of value is going to increase even more.
Well, see, everyone, when we're talking about gold and silver value here, we're pegging it to this dollar, you know, this whole privately controlled dollar thing, you know. And whenever people ask me, what is silver worth? You know, what is gold worth? Well, I'll tell you what. When you're starving and you're walking down a street and you have a little silver coin in your pocket and it's the only thing that's going to buy you food that day, well, it's worth your life. And, you know, it could be worth your electric bill. It could be worth a pair of shoes that you're trading it for. It's all worth whatever that other person or other individual is willing to trade for it. So when you're pegging it against the dollar, that's just a right now. That's just a way to kind of gauge on how to trade dollars for silver. That's all that really is. But once you have silver and you're trading it for other things, the silver has different values to different people. Some people are willing to give a lot for it and some people are not. So, you know, you have to find those people that are willing to trade with you and do business with you and keep those relationships strong. And little by little, you'll have a whole network of people that will do that with you. It just takes a little time right now to find it. But you're going to find that as the dollar goes down and as people have more time to do things and they're going to find ways of trading, and if whether it be labor for food or labor for silver or whatever it might be. So silver has a lot of potential for you.
You know, what is really lousy is these companies that have been selling gold, and they are not delivering the real item. They're selling receipts of gold, and they're taking 1 ounce of gold, and they're selling it to 100 different people. And so these people are holding these receipts for the gold they think they have, and it's like, talk about a bunch of fraud. I love, John, that from my website, that, I mean, this stuff matters so much that I was able to put it there at morningliberty.com so that people like Lee, for example, could have access to it, even in quantities that we can afford. Imagine a tenth of an ounce and half of an ounce so that anybody could actually get some, and how necessary it is. Again, that's why I came to RBN. That's why I agreed when John Stadtmiller gave me a call. I thought, well, what can I do to help save lives? What can I do to help us get ready for the events that are about to hit this country big time? And I think this silver thing is just huge. Lee, anything else?
Well, you just answered my final question, because I was going to ask, because I know when people buy gold and stuff, a lot of times they give a certificate, and that was going to be my question, was if I go through your website, because I've been researching other different websites, would I actually get the silver or a certificate? And I personally, I'd rather have the actual silver.
Yeah.
Yeah, certificate is just another piece of paper. What's great about, you know, holding it in your hand, I mean, for example, if you want to see the tricks they play on you, go to the bank and ask them to let you tell them you want a safety deposit box, and then read the agreement they make you sign. The bank isn't liable for anything in the safety deposit box. You know, if they go belly up or decide they don't want to do anything with it or cancel it or whatever, they're not liable for the content. So you need to have this on your person, not in your mom's, not at your mom's house, not 2 states away. You need to have some where you can get to it in a hurry. You know, and if you bury it in the backyard, you better make sure you can unbury it quick in case you have to roll out of there. So you got to have, you know, it's kind of like part of your preparedness plan is having that silver accessible. Having it in a place where you can grab it, where it's probably prepackaged. You could throw it in your backpack, your pocket, put it in your car, whatever you need to do, and get out. And then if you have a lot of silver, you can almost bury the majority in it.
I think that putting food away, food can be like currency, okay, in a crunch. But when under a martial law condition, food can actually be confiscated. And I think silver in quantities like this is like if you try to exchange with an ounce of gold, its value can be so high that you can't, you know, have a whole lot of opportunity of exchanging for like shoes or exchanging for, you know, a sandwich. But having a tenth of an ounce, I heard that we can do a tenth of an ounce or a half of an ounce. Awesome stuff. I hear the music. Lee, hang on. We will continue with your conversation right after the break and with John Kimonis right after this.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government. But truth, like freedom, isn't free. The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. Your support will also help us launch a new elected representative network that will be totally listener-supported and commercial-free. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We are back. This is the Morning Liberty Program. I'm RJ, and my guest this morning is John Kimonis, and we still have Lee out of Georgia. I found a way to make this silver available to you, even in one half of an ounce rounds and one tenth of an ounce rounds. And I thought that, you know, I would like to understand more the history of silver, and I appreciate John helping to do that with us. Before we continue on in these remaining moments, Lee, any other question or comment?
One final thing. Other than, because I've been stockpiling seeds, but other than silver and seeds, is there anything else that you would recommend to start stockpiling for when, if and when?
In my opinion, cigarettes is one thing that you can turn into barter quickly.
Water purifier. Make sure you get a water purifier with backup. They have like the little. If you get a Berkey, for example, which I highly recommend, get a Berkey and also buy some extra filtration units that they come with. They might cost a little bit, but they're cheap now and they'll be expensive later. And like RJ was saying, cheap cigarettes and liquor, especially if you don't smoke, just pack them up, you know, watertight and airtight for the cigarettes and keep them because those prices are always going to go up. Liquor and cigarettes.
How much are those Berkeys?
Lee, I appreciate the call. Good questions.
Thank you.
And apparently, John, this was a hobby for you, but it's much more than just a hobby now.
That's correct. I mean, I've been doing this for like to protect my wealth and as a business, part of my business model since about 2005, and it's just you know, it's something that once you get into it, it kind of becomes addicting, and you'll see those neat little coins that you just have to have, and you'll have the coins that are there for protecting your wealth, and, you know, everyone has a different level of involvement. Like I said, I started off as a collector, and I use it as also a storage of wealth. I also have gold in as well. I like to collect gold as well, but since I don't have an income stream like I used to, I'm a lot heavier on the silver right now.
Well, you know, as far as having a fix or a habit, you know, it's not a bad habit, okay? It could be a lot worse.
Well, I've seen people go out there and they'll spend all this money on green teas to play golf. I've seen a guy spend $50,000 on his bass boat. I'm like, wow. And, I mean, just things like that. I mean, $50,000 on a bass boat. Man, you could have bought a lot of silver with that. And maybe, especially if you'd done that 4 years ago. And guess what? He could have sold half his silver, probably bought his bass boat, and still had a whole heck of a lot of silver left.
I think the price of gold is going to continue to escalate,
right.
and the price or the value, perceived value of silver as well, is going to continue to escalate over and over and over. If you pay attention to the warnings that are coming from Bob Chapman and Gerald Celente and other even prophetic voices, that it's just going to continue to escalate, and that's something that we should be participating in.
I agree. Even if it's just a temporary measure for the currency change, or they're going to go to a credit system or whatever new system at some point they'll implement, at least you have a storage of your wealth. It's a hard asset. It's something in your control. And when that currency does flip or change, or if the dollar is devalued, well, you still have your value in something else that is more likely going to double or triple when the dollar does go under. So, you know, it's a matter of protecting your wealth. You still need some dollars, unfortunately, to do business right now, but you don't need to store your wealth in dollars because there is no wealth in dollars. So get some precious metal.
I saw that we had another caller, but here we are just out of time. My hope is that you'll call in sooner. And it's there on the website, morningliberty.com, so that people, if they'd like to participate or get a hold of portable land, interesting, it's right there at morningliberty.com. John, thanks for joining us.
All right. Have a good day.
And we'll chat again.